Amen. Hallelujah. God is great. God is good all the time. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what. I don't know about y'all, but you know, last night I was talking to Phil, and I said, so is everything still on the church building? There's nothing blown off or anything? And he said he slept through all that, and we didn't. It hailed so hard on our roof, I thought a train was coming through. But we were in the basement at 140. But I'm here to tell you, folks, what was earlier in the night, where's Justin? He was talking about, Dad, you know, is this kind of conditions for a tornado? I said, well, I guess they usually accompany thunderstorms. And he said, should we think about going to the basement or something? That was the first pass through the storm, the first set of hail. And I'm sitting there watching TV, and I said, you know, I look at it this way. If it's my time to go, it's my time to go. She's like, don't you tell him that. Listen, worrying isn't going to get you anywhere. I figure, okay, it's 1:30 in the morning. I can't see the thing anyhow. So don't know if it's coming or going. And like, I don't know if I'd said this before. I've got this deal. It's not quite a deal because I'm still conflicted in it. I don't want anything on my property being damaged, but I wouldn't mind if it took the roof off my barn. It's only going to cost me $1,000 to have a new one put on. Or it'll cost me quite a few thousand to have things fixed. I don't know. Like, I'm kind of conflicted in that. Not quite for certain. Yeah. Anyhow, praise God. Well, we got a few things we're going to do this morning besides blessing the offering. And remind me again, these first. Okay, we'll do this first. All right, well, we're going to bless the tithe and offering. Also, remember, today is also war on the floor. If you have a prayer request, at this point, give it to our usher, Rob, and he will make sure I get it when it comes time. If you haven't already, put them in here. Like I said, we are believing God for many things in this country. We want people's lives changed. We want people's lives turned around for good. Amen? And so let's bless the tithe and offering this morning. Father God in heaven, we thank and we praise you for this day. And Lord God, we thank you for the crops that have been gotten in. Lord, we thank you for your blessings, your mercies in our lives. Father, we thank you now to be able to come together in a free country and to praise your name without fear of government retribution. Lord, I thank you and praise you that you're moving in this country. And now, Lord, we present to you today our tithe and our offerings. Lord, I bless it. I thank you for it. I receive it on your behalf today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated for a few minutes. We are going to... I'll go ahead and take them. We have two graduates today. Two of our young people are graduating high school. And as I've always joked, but not always meaning it jokingly, they are about to get a dose of reality into the real world. I remember when Jesse, the first time paying taxes, he's like, why? Why? Everybody here will know that when you got to pay taxes, that's when life becomes real. Or your first electric bill. No wonder Dad was such a psycho. Turn the lights off. It's why there's a switch. You can ask my boys. If I look out in the barn, I'm like, seriously, who left the lights on in the barn? In one row, I have three lights that are 300 watts each. Yes, oh my gosh, is right. But anyhow, I never thought about that stuff as a kid. I remember turning on the floodlights and running around 75 watts per bulb times two per corner. And we'd run around and play. But today, we get to celebrate with these. I know, Carsey, your actual graduation is today, right? Okay, yeah. And then later on this week, Jesse's actual graduation takes place. He's already graduated from the technical school. And but we would like to honor our grads today. So if I could have Jesse and Carsey come up. Come on down. You're the next contestants on The Life is Right. Yes. Now, I got to tell you something. This morning when I walked in and Carsey's standing over there, I looked over and I said, Carsey, did you grow? She says, no, she's got some really big heels on. But she said, I found this to be really uncomfortable standing this high from here. Most of the time she's sitting flat, standing flat-footed, operating. It's right there where she can reach. She's like, this is just awkward. But you two, you're about to leave the confines of school, high school, and enter into a new world called the School of Life. It's going to be mean. It's going to be fun. Depends on what you want to focus on. I say that because I think everybody in here would test. It's been fun, and it's been real, and it hasn't always been real fun. But you can make it the best. Depends on what you're going to look at. If you sit back and look at bad things that happened all the time, it's not going to be a fun life. But as we present to you today your Bibles, we want you to know that as you go forth in all that you do, God will bless you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Even if you try to run, right, guys? We've all tried to run. This is always easier when it's not your own kid. But I want you both to know, life will take you places you're going to love to see. Journeys, adventures. And I know I can speak on both behalfs of the parents when we say, have an adventure. We'll miss it, but have an adventure. Because there's more to life. There's an entire world out there. Up until, I would dare say, probably the middle of the 19th, or the, as you were, the 20th century, a lot of people had never even left their own county, let alone their state or the country. There's a beautiful world out there. And as you go, we pray that you take the word of God with you. I know you have Bibles. That's not the point. We're not trying to replace your Bible. But this one is of a nice travel size. You can take it with you. I know I carried mine. But no, as your family, we love you. And we want the best for you. So congratulations. And I'm going to pray a blessing over you, if I may. Yep. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these young people. Lord, I pray that as they go out, they step out on their own. Lord God, that as you are with them, Father, may they always feel that. May they always know that you're there. Father, I pray that you lead them and guide them into all truth, Father. I pray that you quicken their senses, Father, that they sense the traps. They don't have to step in them. They don't have to suffer. They can be smarter than we were. Lord, I pray that as they go forward, they will bring your light to a lost and dying world as well. Father, whether it be on a grand platform or whether it be as an individual one-on-one to people. Lord, we pray that your love surrounds them. Your blessings follow them. Your light guides them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. All right. So are we ready for the next... This will take a few minutes, so just, yeah, go ahead and bring the rest of these lights all down.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I know I'm gonna change that tune. When I'm back on top in June. I said that's life. And as funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks stomping on a dream. But I don't let it get me down. 'Cause this fine old world, it keeps spinning around. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I find myself flat on my face, I pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That's life.
I tell you, I can't deny it. I thought of quitting, baby, but my heart just ain't gonna buy it. And if I didn't think it was worth one single try, I'd jump right on a big bird and then I'd fly. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I find myself laying flat on my face, I just pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
From isn't all that great. My automobile is a piece of crap. My fashion sense is a little whack, and my friends are just as creepy as me. I didn't go to boarding schools. Preppy girls never looked at me. Why should they? I ain't nobody, got nothing in my pocket.
Bad boys be hills. That's where I want to be.
Housemates rub the floors, they get the spaces in between. I wanna live a life like that. I wanna be just like a king. Take my picture by the pool, 'cause I'm the next big thing.
Beverly Hills, that's where I want to be.
Me by, I'll lay around and wonder. man from another time and fade away. And fade away. Just close your eyes and I'll take you there. This place is warm without a care. We'll take a swim in the deepest sea. I go to leave but you reach for me.
Come to you when the work you eat a root beer popsicle. Shut off the AC and roll the windows down. Let that summer sunshine always stay humble and kind. Don't take for granted the love this life gives you. When you get where you're going, don't forget, turn back around. Help the next one in line, always stay humble and kind.
That's life. auspiciousness and causes of success. May you have the confidence to always do your best. May you take no effort in your being generous, sharing what you can, nothing more, nothing less. May you know the meaning of the word happiness. May you always lead from the beating in your chest. May you be treated like an esteemed guest. May you get to rest, may you catch your breath. May the best of your todays be the worst of your tomorrows. Whoa. May the road less paved be the road that you follow. Whoa. Well, here's to the hearts that you're gonna break. Here's to the lives that you're gonna change. Here's to the infinite possible ways to love you. I want you to have it. Here's to the good times we're gonna have. You don't need money, you got a free pass. Here's to the fact that I'd be sad without you. You to have it all. A slap bracelet. May you keep the chaos and the clutter off your desk. May you have unquestionable health and less stress. Having no possessions, though immeasurable wealth. May you get a gold star on your next test. May your educated guesses always be correct. And may you win prizes shining like diamonds. May you really own it each moment to the next. May the best of your todays be the worst of your tomorrows. Whoa. May the road less paved be the road that you follow. Oh. Well, here's to the hearts that you're gonna break. Here's to the lives that you're gonna change. Here's to the infinite possible ways to love you. I want you to have it. Here's to the good times we're gonna have. You don't need money, you got a free pass. Here's to the fact that I'd be sad without you. I want you to have it all. If you believe it, then anything can happen. Go, 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 raise your glasses. Go, 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 you can have it all. I toast you. Here's to the hearts that you're gonna break. Here's to the lives that you're gonna change. Here's to the infinite possible ways to love you.
I'm not going to try to talk. So, congratulations, guys, wherever they're at now. All right, this moment, Super Kids can be dismissed. I don't think I have anything else I needed to say. All right. Thank you. Throughout this past week, I've had, I don't know whether what to call it, an epiphany. I've had breakthrough. I've had great revelation. And I told Angela, I said, Monday morning was the first Monday morning I haven't hated in a while. Not because I hate Mondays. because I didn't want to quit. There are many Mondays after I've preached the word, you can ask Angela, I wanted to leave. The devil attacks because I'm trying to help you get free. Trying to get you to see the revelation of what God's word is. How to live a victorious life. Many times, part of it was because I fall. I fail. And I think, how can I help somebody else when I'm having a hard time standing on my own? But Monday, I woke with a new revelation, with a newfound joy, with a new determination to crucify every religious demon that dares to show its head. And I'm going to do my best to help you walk a victorious life over everything that has ever had you bound. I don't care if it's porn addiction, alcohol addiction, smoking. I don't care what it is. Lying, stealing, cheating. I don't care what the addiction is. Whether somebody told you you weren't good enough. None of that matters. I'm going to try to help you through this series. This is going to be a series. There's no way. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there are people in here right now, I know for a fact, who are bound. And they don't realize what's got them bound. And they can't figure out how to overcome it. I can promise you right now, you cannot will to overcome any addiction you've got. You can't will it, can you? Anybody that's ever had to fight that? Any kind of addiction. You can't just, well, I just won't do it no more. Isn't that the simplistic, moronic term we've done? Just don't do it anymore. I believe it was Paul that says, why is it I do the things I don't want to do? So Paul knew you couldn't just will not to do it anymore. Our will is not strong enough. That's why Jesus Christ had to come. And so for however long, you're probably going to hear several of the same things over and over. I may hit the same scriptures over and over. But I'm here to tell you once and for all today, people need to be free in order to come out of the bondages. There were some things, I got some things this morning as I was in my office. And I was just, I'm like, Lord, is that right? I don't think I hit my head any time in the last 24 hours. Did I just see something in your word that I've never heard? And it's not that I'm teaching heresies. Just let's get that straight. We're going to talk about some of that today. But I'm wanting people to be free. If you've lost your joy, I'm here to help you. If you've lost your way, I'm here to help you. If you can't figure out what your purpose in life is, I'm here to help you. Because you're never going to know what your purpose in life is until you get free from what's got you bound. Amen? Amen? All right. Turn your Bibles this morning, and they're not going to bring them up. I'm going to make you look. Just because I didn't. She can bring them up if she wants. Galatians chapter, I believe, 5 is where I'm starting. It'd been nice if I had stuck my paper in there instead of in Romans. Galatians chapter 5. I want to go to verse 16. This is Paul talking to the Galatian church. Now, before I get crazy and carried away here, let me mark that. I want to read something. I've got the Spirit-Filled Life Bible. It's in the New King James Version. All that means, for those of you that think King James was the one that originated the Bible, one, go check your history. Two, understand this, that all they changed was words these, thous, thines. So the words that you and I use today, okay? But anyhow, in the front of this, the people that compiled this Bible, great Bible teachers from many of them have gone on. It gives each book, it tells a little bit about the history of the book, what's going on at that time frame, when it was written. This book was written between 55 and 56 A.D., okay? So roughly 20 years after Christ had ascended. And down here it says the occasion and the purpose. Why was this book written? In this particular case, why was this letter written?
And it said, legalists in the church, called Judaizers, taught that certain Old Testament laws were still binding upon Christians. They reasoned that God's promises extended only to Jews and that Gentiles must be circumcised before they could fully experience salvation. The Judaizers did not deny that faith in Jesus was necessary, but insisted that it was inadequate. I want you to focus on that. One must add to faith observance of the law. This doctrine was in direct contradiction to Paul's insistence that salvation was by grace through faith, so the Judaizers sought to discredit his teachings by challenging his authority, which if you read Galatians, you'll see the first couple chapters. He greets them, and then he addresses the challenge to his authority. They charged that he was a second-hand apostle, inferior to Peter and James. Furthermore, they argued he was a compromiser who made the gospel more attractive to Gentiles by removing its valid legal demands. So, over the next however long it takes me to get this through, however long God just stops the revelations, because I'm going to tell you right now, I thought I had some great revelations this week, and I got more just inside the half hour or so I was in my office. But I want to look at starting here, because we're probably going to spend a lot of time in Romans and Galatians and various other particular books that are dealing on this issue. So let's go to 16. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Anybody there? Anybody been there? I want to see a hand. I want to know that I'm preaching to the right group this morning. Because if you're already past this, you don't need this message. But if you've done things, you're like, I didn't want to do that. Why do I do that? Well, we're going to try to help you address that. We're going to help you overcome that. Not just, oh, I'm free, hallelujah, and then next week you're bound again. I'm talking about you broke the chains, you turned around, set the grenade in that thing's mouth and walked away and it blew up. You're free once and for all. It can no longer come back and take you. But, verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, Paul goes on to talk about it. He said in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are the things the flesh wants to do. This is what the law came to contain. Are you following me? He said it just above. He said, if you're in the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh or the sins are evident, which are adultery. Right off the top, he hits adultery. Well, I don't cheat on my wife. Do you look at another woman? Do you lust after her? Ladies, y'all have heard me talk about this before. I see your Facebook posts. You're putting these half-naked cowboys and firemen on there. Don't talk to me about I'm holy. You are lusting after that man who probably is married. Yes, I know if you're single, you would like to marry him. I get that. You cannot fill your heart with lust over something you will never have. It's not like looking at a classic car. I admire cars. Honestly, if I ever have a Ferrari, it's no big deal if I don't. I just really like them. But the point of the matter, I've gotten to this revelation over the years. That's why I give everybody trash about what truck you drive. You know what? I really don't care. It's got four wheels, it's got a bed, and it does the same thing that the high-end Denali or whatever. They all do the same thing. I have to laugh when I see people that are getting all over these people with H3 Hummer, H2. I can't believe they drive that thing. Then they go get in their Yukon. They do know it's the same thing, right? It's made on the same, the chassis is made on the same line. They just did it to another factory to get another body put on. The outwards is all that changed. Inside, it's the same beast. So, if a man is looking at a woman, because this is what Jesus taught, he said, if you look at a woman and you lust after her, you've already committed adultery. Now, we've looked at, well, I didn't do it. In your mind you did, in your heart you did. And when you did that, you committed to sin. Jesus was trying to tell us the essence of the law. And you never, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands of how many people have looked at somebody of the opposite sex. If you're looking at the ones of the same sex, we need to deal with that. But looking at somebody who is not your spouse and desiring to be with them is adultery. You are giving affection that belongs to your spouse to somebody else. I worked at a factory one time and a woman asked me, she said, "Art, what do you think?" She said, "If I kiss another man, is that adultery?" And I said, "Absolutely. Your kisses belong to your husband." Now, her and her husband were having issues, and I knew that. I said, "You have committed adultery." Now, since her and her husband have divorced, there's no, I couldn't affect any change in that matter. You got to get saved. Otherwise, you're just going to keep thinking that you can keep running around doing this. So when we look at it, he says adultery right off the bat, because this is what Jesus taught on. If we are, that's what I'm looking for, thinking that we're walking all fine, and then some fine mama walks by like, "Woohoo, baby! You just crossed the line, dude." Ask yourself, would I do that with my wife? You can ask, I hound my wife all the time. But I'm not going to go chasing things in the store. That's bad news. Okay? Fornication. I think we understand what that's. Sexual immorality outside the bonds of marriage. Again, for the church, let's get this straight. The word teaches us, Paul particularly taught us, that the marriage bed is undefiled. I like what Jesse Duplantis said, because I had told Angela the same thing, and then he got up in front of all these ministers and he said, "Here's what this means, guys. It means, church, stay out of the marriage bed. It's none of your business. As long as you ain't bringing other people into it, it's none yon. None of your business." Okay? That's what I teach people when they come to the marriage. I don't know, that part doesn't get any easier. I'm sorry. You'd think I could just go right through. "Yeah, we're going to talk to a couple about sex. Woohoo!" Yeah. Yeah, we get books. You hear, take his book and read it. No homework, though. Uncleanness. We're not necessarily talking about your body. Jesus' disciples got railed on because they didn't wash their hands before they eat. I'll just tell you right now, I have eaten more motor oil, transmission fluid, antifreeze, on occasion battery acid, grease, dirt, you name it, because I didn't wash my hands, because I didn't always have a place to clean them. And as a heavy equipment mechanic, you ate whatever fell in your face. I remember the day a guy pulled a radiator hose right over. I was under the radiator. This guy pulled the radiator hose off right over my head. Ethylene glycol, also known as antifreeze, is very sweet. Lewdness. That stuff shouldn't be heard of in the church. And by the way, here, let me help you kind of help out on this. We've talked about these whole things before, and we're not going to go into depth on any of them. But lewdness, folks, ladies and gentlemen, we got to be conscientious of what we're presenting to the public. My wife has clothes she will wear for me around the house. My neighbor ain't going to get to see them, or I will poke out his eyeballs. That's all there is to it. You don't need to be wearing stuff like that for your husband at home in public. Leave a little mystery. I ain't saying you got to be wearing a dress down to here and your collar up to here. I'm saying dress nice, dress appropriately. But don't be trying to tempt another suitor. Who are you showing off for? You trying to gain somebody else? Not a good idea. We were talking this the other day. Remember if it was Jesse or Justin. I think it was Justin. I said, every fight that I saw was over a girl. And now the girl fights, there was a couple. I don't even know what, I think they were over a guy. But girls, you guys are vicious. The guys, it actually ends up in a slapping contest. Girls, they got fingernails and they pull hair. And guys are on the floor wrestling. But girls, man, you grab that girl by the hair and you're just jerking her around, calling her everything. You're mean. Idolatry. Serving things in front of God. You're allowed to have things. You're allowed to have hobbies. You're allowed to have likes and dislikes. They are never to come in front of God. Ever. Sorcery. Well, now we're starting to get into things that most of us in here are not a part of. But this is, ladies and gentlemen, this is why when my kids were little, we were very careful about what they watched. We even went a little extreme and banned it for a while. Shows that have witchcraft in them. It's not because I know witchcraft is out there, and I know most of the stories show it in reverse so that you understand it. But when it glorifies witchcraft, your mind isn't mature enough to handle the change. Oh, okay, so this is God? No, that's not God. That's evil. And I realized that Janus and Jambres in the Bible, those were the two sorcerers that confronted Moses with Pharaoh. They did the same exact things he did. As a child, your mind cannot comprehend things. That's why Paul said, as a child, I thought like a child. I didn't understand stuff. I didn't understand taxes when I was a child. Any of you? Now that I do, I still don't like them. I ain't got to like them. Just got to pay them. Hatred. I taught you several years ago, we were not built with the capacity for hate. Because it overrules, it will push out any love we have for people. Well, I hate those. I really dislike geese, Canadian geese. Those border jumpers can go back in my book. They're mean, they're nasty, unclean. Okay? I don't like them. But I have to be careful that I don't let that turn into a hatred. Because that little bit of hatred towards those things will convert over to other things. It's a seed. You know, what they say, one bad apple spoils a whole barrel. All it takes is one bad spot, a bruise on that apple. And that apple, that bruise will keep spreading until it has turned into a fungus. And then it'll affect the one closest to it and so forth. The apples on the top, oh man, they look great. Until you reach your hand down in there and go get you a nice one, you pull up that brown, oozy, hairy slime. That was the apples you thought were good. Or how about a potato? You ever have a really foul stench in your house? Find your potatoes. That's all I can say. Contentions. This is warring between people. Primarily over stupid things. Why do we contend with one another? Because we want our way. Even if we're wrong. Right? Once we've set the course, how many of us just keep pushing through, even though we knew 10 minutes ago we were wrong? I can't turn back. I'm too far invested in this argument. I've been there. I'm like, oh, nuts. I lost. But I'm a man, and I will push through. I will persevere, and I will look like a fool. That's what we do. Jealousies. Oh, would you just look. I can't believe she wears that. I can't believe she puts her hair up. Oh, look at those earrings. She just thinks she's something else. She thinks she's so much better than me. You're jealous. Go buy your own fishing lures. I was thinking about that this morning. Some of y'all remember the 80s in particular. Man, they were fishing lures. I think some people actually started putting fishing lures in their ears. That's what all the feathers and the shiny stuff and the beads. Like, yeah, I think Dad's got some of that in his tackle box. Don't sit around getting jealous over other people. Well, I can't believe that they can wear open-toed shoes to church. I just think that's so wrong. Well, tell you what, you just get hold on to your closed-toed shoes. One of these days, I may come up here and preach in my sandals. You gonna get mad at me? Huh? Didn't your Savior wear sandals? Well, if I came up in my robe. No, I'm not gonna come up in my robe. I don't feel comfortable in my robe, period. Because it's nice and fuzzy. And it puts me to sleep. Outbursts of wrath. The Bible tells us you can be angry and sin not. But if you cannot contain your wrath, you have a problem. And I'm going to promise you, over the next, hopefully, a few weeks here, I'll help you identify where your problem is. I'm not going to sit down with each one of you and say, now let's look here. Let's see. You got this, this, and this. Why are you so angry? Oh, we all got reasons why we're angry, don't we? Every last one of us. Well, I'm not angry. I bet I can find your button. Right? We all have that button. Don't push that button. That's the doomsday button. Don't push my button. Selfish ambitions. That's just seeking ourselves all the time, folks. It's not. Here, when I was a child, I was taught that you had to sacrifice all the time. You didn't ever take care, worry about your, think about yourself. You just gave, and never put anything aside. That's the way I was raised. It's what I was taught. I'll be honest with you, it's wrong. I can't love you if I can't love myself. Right? Bible tells us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Well, how can I think highly of myself when I've been told that I'm worthless? That I'm useless? How do you do that? I think you're useless and worthless, right? That's what happens. So we can't continue to think, oh, well, I'm taking care of my family. I'm taking care of myself. That's bad. No. It's not bad. You've got to take care of your family. My family comes up here. If I can't care for my family, I can't care for yours. I can't even help you if I can't care for mine. So I will do what I... That kind of goes into the play of when I've talked to God about if I see a hitchhiker. Especially if I know I'm in an area, in this area, where he just got out of jail. He's walking back to Mansfield. Do I stop and pick him up? I won't do it with my family in the car. And God has to tell me to stop and pick him up. Again, ladies, I don't recommend you do that. I'm not recommending it at all. Men, you better know you heard from God. You had better understand who you are, be able to think fast on your feet, and understand you're still in control of that truck, or in my case, a truck. And you got your seatbelt on, and he don't. Well, what are you saying? Oh, I'd hit a tree in a heartbeat, sideways. I'd say I'd hit a deer, but I can't hit one for trying. You're talking about, I have aimed for deer. Come on, deer, come on, I need a new truck. My truck's falling apart. No, I can't hit a deer. Oh, I was at a board meeting. We were talking about that, wasn't it? I got a tag to fill. Dissensions. Kind of go in hand with contentions. Heresies. Heresies is teaching garbage from occults into the church. Okay? Every occult has a bit of truth. Every one of them, they've got a little bit of truth. But when you get into them, that's where they get you. And I can promise you this, ladies and gentlemen, and this is why the church needs to keep their mouth, their minds, and their heads out of people's married sex lives, is occults always control the sex. Always. Every last one of them. I don't care who you are. You can say, well, this one does it. You want to bet? They will control the sex between a husband and wife. And they will always get a division. They will create division between the husband and wife. Hey, man, I got these automatic weapons. Here, you take it. Hey, honey, let's go. That's what they do. It's what David Koresh did. It's exactly what he did. Envy. Murders. Drunkenness. I've taught on this, right? I've told you. The Bible doesn't actually say you cannot drink. I know that's just rubbing some people raw and other people like, hallelujah. It throws an even stiffer control on you. Because Paul goes as far as to say, drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And the reason I teach you the truth instead of saying, let's just not, we're just going to ban it altogether. I want you to be free. There is no freedom if I'm controlling this little thing in your life. You aren't free to make your decision. Did God make every decision in your life for you? No, he has not. You know what? God has given us a great thing. It's called a free will. We have the right to choose if we're going to be stupid. In all my drinking, I drank to forget, to release pent-up hatred and anger. I forgot all about that stuff. By the way, religion put that there, just so you know. Religion is what did it. Not God, religion. People controlling other people by manipulating the word so that they could say, well, you're sinning if you aren't giving me all your money. You're sinning if you're not giving me all your free time. I have worked on church projects for 38 years. 38 years. I ain't gonna lie. I'm getting a little long in the tooth. I was 10 years old doing the work of grown men. Unfortunately, in that time, there was a lot of unemployment. So there was a lot of guys in the church that could help. But they didn't show up until Saturday. I've done a lot of stuff. That's why I have mercy on people. That's why I can say, hey, you know, I get it. It's not your thing. And there's some people, they shouldn't. I'm sorry. There's some people shouldn't paint walls. I know it's just taking a roller up and down a wall. There's some people, they can't do that. Don't do it. You do what God has anointed you in, okay? There are some people, they can drive semi-trucks. And there's other people, they can't drive their Volkswagen. And if you drive a Volkswagen, that's not you necessarily. Let me just get that out there. Let me find out where. Revelries. Stirring people up. And the like, of which I told you beforehand, just as I told you times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. How many of you, who inherits? Sons and daughters inherit, right? That's who's supposed to inherit. If we're to inherit the kingdom of God, that means we're sons and daughters. I don't want to get up there and be disqualified because I was stupid. Now, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. When the Spirit is alive in you, it produces a fruit. Something that brings life. Isn't that what fruit does? It builds you up. It nourishes you. It provides you with nutrition and energy, fuel. The fruit of the Spirit is, first off, love. A lot of people think, I was looking at that, that's kind of coincidental, I don't know. But that adultery was the first one on the works of the flesh. People think the sex is love. No, it ain't. Or the porn industry wouldn't be surviving. Prostitution wouldn't be surviving. Affairs wouldn't be surviving. Love is deeper. Fruit of the Spirit is love, first and foremost. Second one, joy. I need people to understand. Like I said, I was losing, and I'll explain it all to you through the next couple of weeks. I was losing my joy. I could get up here and preach, no problem. I lost my joy. Fighting day in and day out. I'm like, God, I know why there's 1,500 preachers a month quitting. I get it. They just can't take it anymore. I was losing my joy because I was letting everything else suck the life out of me. If you're missing the joy of your salvation, hang on. Hang in there. I'm going to get to what has helped me find mine. Because only one thing changed. And by the way, I wasn't laying on the floor. God didn't come down and smack me in my prayer closet. I broke through. And I ain't going to lie, it's been a fight. And now that I'm through, here, well, hang on a second. Let me give you an example, and I will stop as soon as I finish reading that. I was reading an article the other day on Nadia Comaneci. Some of you remember her. Okay, I was just barely old enough to remember her. When she scored her first 10 in the Olympics, the score came up 1.00. She looked up, knowing she had done a great job, looked up and was like, what happened? And they came over the announcement and they said, this is the first perfect score ever scored. Our machine doesn't know how to show it. They only had one spot on that side of the decimal. They could only show one. They wanted to show 10. But there was no spot for it. Today, moves that she did during the 1975 Olympics, moves that she did that got her a perfect 10, are now the standard because they'd never been done before. Nobody had ever done some of the things she did on the balance beam. Ever. And she did them flawlessly. And she became the standard. We're searching, ladies and gentlemen, for a breakthrough. We've got to keep persevering. We've got to keep moving. I kind of lost the train of thought. That's why I changed. What? Okay. But she has now become the standard for the dismount off the beam. There's many other things that she did that are still done today as standard. Peace. I've told you that Jesus leaves us a peace the world can't take away. Oh, well, Pastor, you know, we live in peace in this country. No, your peace right now can be taken away by a riot uptown. A school shooting. A tornado. A flood. A car accident. A missing neighbor. I went out to look for her yesterday. Peace that can't be taken away. Long suffering, that's patience. Kindness, being kind, even when somebody doesn't deserve it. Goodness, just being good for goodness' sake. Isn't that why we sing that stupid song? You better be good for goodness sake. Just be good. Faithfulness. Always be faithful. Marine Corps' motto is Semper Fidelis. Always faithful. Faithful to our God. This is the way I was taught. To God, our country, and our Corps. God first. God first. And then the very reason we serve. Gentleness. You can be rough and still be gentle. Did you know that? I believe it was Solomon that said, this is something that just baffles me. How a man can be this way one minute and another way with his woman. He can be gentle, loving. And if you're not getting any attention, gentlemen, try being gentle. Try being loving. It goes a long way. Self-control. Here is, I would dare say, America's number one problem in the church. Can't speak with everybody else's church in the country or in the world. Self-control. I shared with you a while back that I was at a minister's conference with some other ministers in the back room, and there was some food set out. And, you know, they had these little cake balls that big around, about the size of a good Super Bowl. You know, the things your mom and dad kept cutting in half because you'd stick them in your mouth. Or at least I did. And I ate one of them, and as I'm standing there eating it, the guest or the minister that was hosting it said, now you just want to be careful. Each one of those is a full-size piece of cake that has been compacted. It was a piece this big, smashed down into a tight ball. And he said, you want to be careful. You just ate an entire piece of cake. Why? Well, obviously the fat and the calorie content and the sugar. As I'm standing there, an overweight minister stood there and he put down five of them. Hearing the same thing I heard. That's five pieces of cake you just ate, dude. I don't know where he's at, if he's even still alive. You don't eat cake and stuff like that with abandon. I love bacon. Anybody else with me on this? I love bacon. I was so disappointed when the truck stop restaurant shut down. You go down there and you got bacon. They put a pound of bacon on your plate. I'm like, holy moly, no wonder these truck drivers got high cholesterol. But they gave you bacon. But that's just the problem. If I ate that bacon every day, I'm probably going to create a problem. Bacon's great. I don't need it every day. One, I know my body. It does not get rid of cholesterol real well. Yeah, Pastor, it just sounds like you ain't walking in faith. I'll be honest with you. I ain't going to try it. I know already that my body doesn't process it. It's not getting rid of it. There's something broken. It's in my genes. So, I just kind of keep it at bay. You don't eat bacon? Oh, no, I didn't say I don't eat it. I control myself. That's called self-control. I still drink pop, soda, whatever you want to call it, on occasion. I don't sit around and drink a 2-liter bottle. I have a pop, I have a pop. Now the sweet tea, I will nurse them. You can ask my wife, she fills my cup up, and I nurse it all day long. Now yesterday I was a bad boy. I had sweet tea at breakfast, 2 glasses, and then my cup. But yeah, even that, I nursed it. It was really good sweet tea. Against such, there is no law. Against all these things that are fruits of the Spirit. By the way, fruits of the Spirit come from living by the Spirit. Not under the law. You cannot attain any of this by the law. As I've said, in the next several weeks, I'm going to take you down there. I'm going to show you in the Word of God, not my personal opinion. I will share with you what I have experienced. Okay? I want you to be free and victorious. By the way, if you're feeling contentious and all that stuff all the time, remember that's a sin. That means there's a problem. And I'm hoping that in the next several weeks that I see more and more of you walking victoriously with a newfound understanding of God's love, God's word for you. Amen? All right. We are going to pray.